You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. That is Tim Hortons. That is awesome.
It's not a double-double, though.
No, no, yep. No. Triple-double.
In the States.
In the States, you got to go triple-double because they only use 10% cream here. We use 18%, so we're double the cream. So you got to do the triple. But it tastes fantastic. It's right on. Good job. And the service was excellent. So I'll be reporting back to head office that everything is okay here in Columbus, Ohio. Burger King, keep up the good work. So unbelievable. This has been a great week.
Yes.
Travel tips, the do's and don'ts of travel. And I don't know if you've had more don'ts or do's. It's been pretty even. But again, what a privilege. And I know there are going to be guys that are listening to this are thinking, why haven't I been traveling and preaching? That does happen sometimes. Sometimes you're in a remote area. Sometimes you're just out of sight, out of mind. We've been blessed. We've been so blessed. And I'll tell you that maybe more so in the early days, a lot of the times I got asked out to preach was not because of who I was, but because my father-in-law was Roy Thompson. He introduced me to a lot of guys. He encouraged guys to have me. I know he did. He probably paid guys to have me. My doctorate that I got, my honorary doctorate, was in part because he said to somebody, hey, this guy could use that. And they were very kind.
And you almost got it from another place.
Yes, I did. Almost. But so that's in part. And then because of our Bearing Precious Seed Ministry, as you mentioned.
Amen.
On Monday. A lot of the travel that I'm able to do now is because of Bearing Precious Seed.
It's necessary.
It's very necessary.
Yeah.
We're not going to get the job done unless I do. And by the grace of God, what we've done has been incredible. But I've not really traveled, a great deal for BPS until the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
That's when it really started to pick up. And I realized we weren't going to get done unless I started doing some of that. And it did cause a problem in my church. There were folks that thought I was gone too much. It was a real balance for me. It was really hard to do because I wanted to promote what we were doing, but at the same time, I had to pastor a church. So that can be tough. And I would say this, if you never get to preach anywhere else and you get to pastor and preach in a church, God bless you, man. That's awesome.
Amen.
And that's what God's called you to do. The other is awesome. It's a great experience.
It loses its luster quickly.
The travel part of it, yes.
Yeah.
We were saying earlier, before we started, and some of you guys remember this, you used to just go to the airport and literally walk right on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
You got a paper ticket either from a travel agent or you got it at the airport. You walked up to the gate. They tore out part of the ticket.
Yeah.
And you walked on the plane. You hugged your wife goodbye, kissed her goodbye. The kids all went, hugged and kissed goodbye. They'd stand at the window and wave at the plane as you left. Those days are long gone since 9/11.
Yeah.
So, you didn't go to the airport an hour and a half early. You didn't have to worry about all the baggage regulations. So it was really easy to travel. Now it's much more difficult. To get here to Columbus, I left St. Thomas at 5:45 to catch a 7:15 flight. And I did not arrive in Columbus, which is about a six-hour drive for us. I didn't get here till 5 o'clock that night.
Yeah.
So I had to fly from London to Toronto. I sat in Toronto for 4 hours. Then I flew to Detroit. I sat there for 3 hours. And then I flew on to Columbus. So it's just not as convenient as it used to be. And so that's part of it. I love my pillow. And we've talked about it on here. I love my pillow. You miss that pillow. If you're traveling and you can't bring your pillow, you miss that pillow. You miss your own bed after a while. And then on this trip, I'm going to be away from my wife for almost 2 months, which we've done once before. And it's hard, man. It's tough. I don't like it. That's the hardest thing for me.
Yeah.
And harder than that is the grandkids. I'm not going to see my
grandkids.
Yeah, that's
something new.
It is. And my little granddaughter just turned 6 months. When I get home, she'll be 9 months old. And I'm going to FaceTime and I'm going to do all that, but that you can't hold that baby in FaceTime. And Harrison, you know, he's not going to run up and jump on Poppy's lap. So that's a little bit tougher for sure.
And it's tougher even more because of COVID. You've been home more,
right,
and had at least the opportunity to right. be around the kids more.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. And I've had that quality time with Ruthie, which
yes.
if anything good came out of COVID for me, it was I got to spend the last year with the love of my life.
Amen.
And really reignite the love and the passion of marriage that, you know, when pastoring, your time is so spent. You don't always get that time.
Yeah.
And I know guys try to have date nights and stuff, and that's great, but your mind is, you know, often on the church and other things. So this has been an opportunity for us just to really concentrate on each other, on our home, on our kids and grandkids. And so it's been awesome. So I've appreciated that. And after almost a year of that, she said, "You got to go on the road somewhere. Please get out, you tyrant." So it was funny. We did a few things around the house before I left, and I wanted to get it all done before I left. And so I'm scrambling to get that done, but we got it all done. So that was nice. So, so thank you, Ruthie, for number one, that quality time. And then thank you for being the kind of wife that'll let me do these kind of trips.
Yes.
That's a special woman.
Yeah.
And I don't recommend it for guys with young families. I know there are evangelists that have done that, and many of them try to travel with their family. And God bless you for that. The wife that does that, the kids that do that, God bless you. Their kids are in church, you know, 200 days out of the year or more, and that's a tough thing. So that's a little bit different.
Well, whenever we're talking about people that are traveling, probably the most difficult people that travel are missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because rarely do they get invited.
Right.
They sort of find a way to get invited.
Right.
And so because of that, I think there are many pastors that have the idea, well, they're not special. They sort of have imposed on us.
Yeah.
So we'll just sort of do this.
Yeah.
And get through this, but I'm looking forward to hearing Dr. So-and-so, you know, in 4 months. So
right.
That's a real difficult thing.
Yeah, it is.
You have to get out. You have to meet people. People have to see you. And, you know, of course, you're always feeling like you're on display, and you are. You're being judged.
Your kids.
You know,
yeah.
Your 4-year-old picks his nose in church. People think, oh, can you believe they're not teaching that kid manners? We're not going to support somebody like that. And just
right.
so many nonsensical, difficult things that you have to face. And truly, I mean, and I'm embarrassed to say this, I've been in some situations where I've gone for, you know, just to show up at a missions conference. And some pastors almost have an animosity
yeah.
or an antagonism.
Yeah.
Towards the missionaries, like, can't wait till they get in and get out of here. And,
yeah.
and oh, my goodness, it's tough.
Yeah. And there are two sides to that, of course. I've done a lot of missions conferences now because of Bearing Precious Seed. That seems to be a big part of what I'm doing. I'm still doing revivals, soul-winning conferences, marriage counseling conferences. They're awesome. But I've done a lot of missions conferences. I met a lot of missionaries. And I will say that there are some tremendous missionaries who are sharp on the ball.
Amen.
They get it. They get it. They've had some good training somewhere. And then there are some that just they haven't had good instruction. And they come in and they are a bit of a hardship for the church. The kids are unruly. They require seemingly a lot. And that does put a pressure on the pastor who's maybe got 2 or 3 missionaries and the meals and the preaching and all those other things. So that can be a problem. So I would say I've been with some tremendous missionaries that do a great job and are very good about what can we do, how can I help. They're in the kitchen with the other ladies. But I've seen some that it's almost, you owe me this. And I've had some missionaries tell me that a struggle when they get to the field was, nobody's inviting us out anymore. We're not eating at the nice restaurants anymore. We're not getting the gifts anymore. Now we've got to get down to it's just us, and we've got to get to the work. And that's a tough transition for some.
Yeah.
So that's a real balancing act. I always tried to think of a missionary as a guest preacher. They were coming to preach. I wanted to treat them well. I wanted to make sure they had a good time. I always tried to do this. I tried to serve something besides casseroles,
spaghetti or pizza.
Yes. Right, exactly. So we would have – I remember one, we had taco night, and they're like, we're having tacos. We haven't had Mexican food in a year.
Yes.
We try to do different things like that, something special. And we really tried to, cater to the wife and kids, because it is tough for a lady to be strapped in a car with kids
for
8 hours as they travel.
And
I would sometimes tell missionaries, your kids don't have to come to the service. They don't have to come. Your wife and kids don't have to come. Our church knows. I've let them know. We're going to give them a bit of a holiday. I've had times where I said to them, we have somebody in our church, if you're willing, that will watch your children. And you guys can go and have a day together. They'll take the kids to the park. My wife and I will take your kids to the park. We'll take them for ice cream. You guys go and have a couple hours alone. That's much needed and greatly appreciated.
That's a nice idea.
When you do something like that. So that's good. And again, I would say to a missionary, here's something I've tried to do, and I probably shouldn't give this secret away, but I don't know not many missionaries that do this, but I will call a preacher and I will say, hey, can I buy you a coffee? Can I buy your lunch? I'm in town. Can I buy your lunch? And I just want to talk to you about our ministry. I don't call and say, hey, can you have me come in for a service? I know your services are limited. I know your budget's limited. Let me come and buy your lunch. 9 times out of 10, the guy will say, hey, man, I'll get it. I'm sincere, and I don't ask thinking that he's going to do that. I'm prepared to do it. It's going to cost me some money. But if I can get that preacher alone for an hour and tell him about what we want to do.
Amen.
And then I tell him, hey.
And what you've seen and what's been accomplished.
If you ever want me to come and tell your church about what we're doing, I'd be happy to do it. But preacher, you're going to tell him what I'm going to tell you. And if I can't convince you, I can't convince the church.
Yeah.
Because you're the one that's going to pull the string on it. So that has been a great help. And I've had a lot of guys say, I don't have many missionaries offer to buy my lunch. And so I think that's maybe if you're a missionary today or you can help a missionary, that's not a bad thing to do. Now, I know they're limited in what they can do, especially if they have a family. I know it's tough sometimes on the road. But you could do that once in a while and maybe be a help to you. So let me ask you this. Have you ever been invited to the missionary closet?
No, I never have, but I have been at places where people would have them.
Right.
And, of course, you can explain the concept and everything, but I've seen them done extremely well.
Yes.
And I've seen them be an embarrassment.
Yeah.
And not only just by what's in it, sometimes the attitude
that
people would have in showing it. So go right into that, because I'm sure you've been through it.
Well, I've not done a lot. It's not as big as it used to be. And I think for those reasons that you've said. But I was, I was a guest speaker. I wasn't really a missionary. And they just said, hey, we have our guest speakers come in, missionaries come in. We have a missionary closet. So I went down and there were things in there like used tea bags.
Oh,
used tea bags.
So explain the concept of a missionary closet.
Okay, maybe I should. So missionary closet is we have taken up some supplies that you can either take with you now or maybe use on the field when you get there to help you in your ministry. So there'll be toothpaste and shampoo and, maybe diapers for kids or really old pastors. Depends.
It all depends.
So things like that. There may be a coloring book for the kids, things like that. And there are some, like you said, man, they had some really nice stuff and some batteries, for things, which always a help. So stuff like that. But they had like hand-drawn pictures, old wallpaper, things like that. And I just thought to myself, has the pastor ever seen this? Has he ever been in here?
Oh.
And I thought, wow. So, and then I've heard of missions conferences where they'll say, hey, what do you need? And the guys say, well, we're good. No, tell me something that you need. And the guys say, well, we're saving towards a laptop. And the church bought them a laptop.
Yes.
I mean, that's cool. That's really neat. Again, not everybody can do that. Not everybody's going to do that. So I always have a broken computer with me wherever I go. But I've heard of those kind of things, and I've done some of those things. I've asked the family, yes, what do you need? And our church was maybe in that position where we could do that. And
then many churches train their people, yes, to be aware.
Yeah.
I mean, I know of hearing from missionaries and sometimes from some other pastors, hearing something like, you know, missionary family will come in and a guy will notice, wow, their tires on their vehicle,
yeah,
are bald.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll get the pastor to get the vehicle from them and go put tires on it and bring it back and not, yeah, even, you know, say, yeah, anything. Just, you know, not like even make a presentation. Just,
right,
man, that was a blessing to,
right,
do that.
Or a mechanic, know, will take their car in and service their car for them, mm-hmm, things like that. I was at a meeting once and a family was in a bus, in a road bus, mm, and a guy in their church filled that bus up.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It was hundreds and hundreds, yeah, of dollars of fuel, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he filled it up. And that was, I saw him do that. He never said anything, but I saw him do it.
Yeah,
I,
amen,
thought, man, that was awesome.
Amen.
That was really neat.
Yeah, I've been in a situation where I was not part of it, but I happened to be around a missionary friend, and that's why I went there to hear him. And they invited him to the, you know, his family to the missionary closet, and they were very stingy. You know, I mean, there were probably, I don't know, thousands of dollars of gift cards and,
yeah,
all kinds of things, you know, that it wasn't like it was a huge place, but people had set aside money for, mm-hmm, you know, like a $500 gift card for tires at a place.
Wow.
I mean, it was very well,
wow,
supplied, and the gentleman, I'm assuming he was a deacon or something, the one in charge of it, was really stingy. You know, like,
yeah,
well, you know, you can pick from this shelf, but don't look at these,
oh,
shelves. You know, I mean, this kind of a thing, like,
right,
you know,
right,
well, you're like a C level or maybe D plus level missionary. We're saving these for the A plus missionary. It was embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah,
and in actuality, the missionary said, "Brother, thank you so much. You're so kind. I don't need a thing."
Yeah,
he would not take,
right,
anything.
Right.
The way that guy had just so insulted him, been so condescending.
Yeah,
you know, he said, "You know, this is such a generous church. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We are doing very well. The Lord's been good with us."
Yeah.
He had made up his mind. You know, like Abraham, I'm not taking a shoe latchet from
that's
you,
right,
man.
That's right. I'd be the guy who says, hey, how about the tires? two great things that I saw. Number one, I had a church who gave me probably $200-$300 in gift cards for different restaurants.
Yes.
And gas cards.
Yep.
What was that church? Oh, yeah, North Columbus Baptist Church. Your church did that. And that's an awesome thing. And I've had a few of those, but not like that. And that was really a great idea. So every time I ate, I thought, man, I stopped and prayed for this church. I thought, man, these guys have provided that. I actually have some with me from that,
amen,
trip that I haven't used. And so it worked out really, really well. So that was good. And then I was with Brother Randy Dignan, and they did Christmas in July.
Hmm.
And I was his guest speaker. And so for the missionaries, especially the kids, they had Christmas. And people got out and bought gifts for the kids.
That is
they found
awesome.
Out they found out what they wanted. And they decorated their old auditorium, all Christmas trees.
Oh, wow.
They had a sleigh in there. And they had the families come up and sit in rockers. And then the people brought in the presents for the kids. And they gave them the kids. And the kids opened them on the platform.
That is great.
It was awesome. They did some gifts for me, too. It was awesome. They did mostly for the kids, which I thought was really cool.
Yes.
And that was a really, really neat thing. And their people loved it. I mean, they got into it and did it really well. And I think I went back in a back room and they gave me a microphone and they did a phone call from Santa Claus. So that was fun. So that was really neat. So that was a great idea as well. So something like that. So travel is awesome and I love to do it. I love it, love it. I love seeing the world and I love going other places, being able to be the person that gives Africa, Mexico, Haiti, the Philippines, when you go to places like that and you can bring something to them, that's a neat thing.
Yes.
I used to travel, go to colleges, and I would take Canadian chocolate bars, chips, and Swiss Chalet sauce for the students.
That's awesome.
That was awesome. And, you know, if I have a friend, I know they like something like that from Canada, I try to bring that. So that's kind of cool to do that for them. But I've enjoyed my time traveling, and I hope I have many more years of it. I'm looking forward to it. God has greatly blessed me to be able to do that. And so if you are traveling today, be thankful for everything you've got. If you're wanting to have people in, just love on them. If you're sincere and you're there to love on them, they don't need much.
Amen.
They really don't. They just want to be a blessing. So that's my pros and cons, traveling.
Let me add one last thing that we haven't really addressed. If you're a preacher or a church member and you're wanting to, you know, entertain and, you know, fellowship with a preacher or evangelist, missionary family, when people get up in years, you know, yeah. I'm getting around the point, you know, I have to take medication at night mm-hmm. to be able to sleep. Mm-hmm. And so I cannot eat after a certain time. You know, I know some places that they've looked forward to somebody being around them, and maybe the preacher's in his mid-70s, and all the things that he used to do,
right.
he can't stay up late now,
yeah.
you know, like he used to. So, you know, just be considerate about those kind of things
yeah.
as well,
yeah.
you know, that because if you ask, especially, you know, some of the older guys, you ask, they're going to try it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it may wear them down to a point where they just won't be as efficient or effective
yeah.
in the preaching that they want to be.
Yeah, I made that mistake. I had an older guy, and I did that, and he got up to preach after 3-4 nights, and he was like, I just don't know if I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize how I had taxed him like that. So
yeah.
I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
I will let you know that I'm not there yet, so we can stay up late tonight.
I'm there.
As long as it's before 9 o'clock.
You and the dog.
Me and the dog. As long as it's not after 9 o'clock, we're good to go.
Well, so, you know, man, you make fun of me like crazy because I'll take my medicine. If I take
yeah.
my medicine on time
yeah.
and I take it in a certain manner, I'll be sitting there. It could be 9:30,
yep.
and I'm zoned out.
He's
and
up.
I'm.
Yeah.
If I don't make my way to the bed, I'll wake up at 3 a.m. exactly the yeah. position that
yeah.
I'm sitting. So.
Yeah. He takes some heavy hitting stuff. So, yeah. And you have to. Be
I don't think that. I don't think taking the booze with it really helps.
No, don't mix the pills and the booze. That's the problem. Well, that's our final podcast forever. Thank you. Kids, he's kidding. He's kidding.
Kids. I am joking.
This is Tim Talks. I'm Al Stone, and I've got some great meetings over these next several weeks, I think it's 12 weeks. And I'm looking forward to letting people know Bearing Precious Seed's doing awesome. We're doing great.
Amen.
And we are so close to reaching our objective of raising $200,000. We're going to keep that going till April. If you're listening and you haven't done anything towards that, man, if you would.
Amen.
I need about 100 churches to give $1,000 or individuals, and we will have reached that $200,000
mark.
$400,000, that will do almost half of British Columbia.
Amen.
Awesome. So God bless you. Good to be here with you.
Yeah, good to be here with you too. This is Dan Wolven here in Columbus, Ohio, in our wonderful studios,
yeah.
almost as nice
yep.
as being under the stairs
yep.
at your studio.
Yes.
So.
There's heat in here. Carpet on the floor. It's really nice.
Yeah, and moving yeah. pads on the walls.
Hey, you didn't have
to deaden the sounds.
Don't underestimate. This is good.
Well, this is why I can have such a good sound
yeah.
here,
yeah.
sounding like a 60-year-old woman smoker.
Well, at least it's not the pop can on a string that I use. This is Tim Talks. Have a great week. We'll be back with you on Monday. Get ready. You never know what's coming. This is Tim Talks.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, You can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.